Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, you have your Bibles, I hope you'll follow along with us today. Boy, that's a powerful message in the song, isn't it? I tell you, you're almost just at the end of that, just need to give an invitation. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, today is the day of salvation, and I pray no one would leave here today not knowing whether they were saved or not. So we come to Romans chapter 8. Before we read our scripture, I just want to make a few comments. You know, people who have looked to Jesus Christ for salvation, the Bible teaches they're going to be different. Not different in a weird way, although to some people we may be weird, but yet we're different in many ways. We're not the same people we once were. They think differently, they act differently, they walk differently, they talk differently. In other words, they're different in just almost every conceivable way that you could possibly think of. And the reason they're different is because they've been invaded by the Spirit of God. Because when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you and dwell. And today we find that we get saved, we're indwelt by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is forever changing us. In fact, the Bible said we become a new creature. I heard some of Justin's Sunday School lesson this morning. I heard some Brother David's, and they were kind of going along the same lines as what I'm preaching today. But the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When the Holy Spirit comes into the believer's life, he comes to abide with the new believer. Abide means to dwell with and to be there. He said in John 14, verse 16 through 18, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you. And I like this, forever. He said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. What a blessing it is and a promise that God gives to us. Now, the new life of the believer lives in the Spirit of God. In fact, that's what our text will say in just a moment. But in chapter 7, not going to preach on that this morning, don't have time to even read all the scripture that is there. But chapter 7 reveals to us and tells us what kind of sinners we were. We're continually under judgment. If we're lost, if you're lost today, you're continually under the judgment of God. Not only that, but you're under condemnation and the wrath of God. It's a fearful thing not to be saved by the grace of God. Could I say that? And I believe today that we need to understand the book of Romans makes it very, very clear that we cannot save ourselves. And that brings us to our text today in Romans chapter number 8. And I'm going to read the scripture and just, well, I'm going to go ahead and read it now. Begin in verse number 1, read through verse 4. He said, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together. Lord, I pray that you'd help me, that you'd give me the words, the wisdom, the help that I need to bring the message today. And Father, we ask now that you would guide and direct, give us the strength, help we need. And Lord, speak to our heart. And again, we pray for a lost soul that may be here today. I pray, Lord, that they'd come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before the service is over. And we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I began working on the message for the week. It was trying to get something to go. And a lot of times when I'm preaching, I may tie things into whatever's going on. So I thought about, after I had already done this, had my message ready to go, and I said, hey, it's Labor Day. I should have preached on something about us laboring or whatever, and the things we need there. And of course, we can always do that, and we need to be laboring for the Lord. But then I thought about it. I said, you know, basically, here's what we're finding out. He says, in the first thing we notice is, he says, we're condemned no more. Thank God when we get saved, we're not condemned anymore. So I thought about Labor Day. I thought about the Bible said that, or not the Bible, excuse me, but the world says that there's Labor Day because of the way men in the past have worked and they set aside a day. I guess it's not really Labor Day. It's supposed to be a day of rest. Everybody's supposed to get that day off. But I thought about, you know, how the Lord has given us a Labor Day. A labor day for him is every day, by the way, laboring him, but he solved the problem. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and what? I'll give you rest. So today, this could be God's, it could be his labor day for us as we think about the weekend, but no condemnation. Friend, if you're a child of God, that ought to excite you. That ought to get you stirred up and thankful today that God saved my soul. I live the life that I live knowing that I am not condemned anymore. Now, I'm not talking about sins we may commit. I know we have to confess our sin. But I'm talking about all the past sins. One day, I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave me eternal life. I know it's easy. The Bible talks about there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's interesting to note this, and this is a problem among many believers. But this is a... He said in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. We know this. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things which you would. I guess one of the verses that we can all relate to a lot is Paul, the Apostle Paul said. He said, the things I ought to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't do, I should do. And I said, if the Apostle Paul could make that statement, then understanding today, all of us are as human as we possibly can. But the thing that he wants us to understand here is there's nothing we can do for our salvation. There's nothing we can do to keep our salvation because we have it. If we're saved, we have eternal life and is given to us by him. You see, the sinner in his natural state stands condemned by God. Friend, if you're here today and you're lost, I hate to give you the bad news, but you're condemned to a devil's hell. You said, I don't like that. A lot of people don't like that, but it's the truth of the Word of God. I'm not trying to be ugly in any way, but the Bible said, and by the way, let me tell you what the Bible said, is not me. John 3:36 said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If we live our lives without Jesus, and we die without Jesus, there's going to be a terrible price we're going to pay. The Bible said in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. After telling us how bad we can be and how we are if we're lost, Paul closes Romans 7 with a thrilling explanation. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 7, verse 24 through 25. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, the great missionary, the one that gave us much of our Bible through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall be able to deliver me from this body of death? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with this in mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Paul's saying in these passages of Scripture, and it's amazing the way God puts things together. We don't consult, but the choir special couldn't have been any better today. Only Jesus. Friend, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only he can take your life and make you whole. The only way to be saved from our sin is through the Lord Jesus Christ. For the believer, even as the believer, sin is a major problem. We know that we'll still sin. We try to do the best we can do. But Paul said, even in my life, being the godly man that he was and the wonderful example that he was, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Now, in saying that, he was not trying to magnify that or say that's it's okay. But he was saying that we ought to be able to do everything in our power to walk in the Spirit of God rather than walk in the flesh according to the Word of God. And so we come to Romans chapter 8 today. We've read our passage of Scripture. And Paul wants us to know, thank God, that no matter who we are, how bad we are, all of us being sinners, we are no longer under condemnation. Condemned no more. I tell you, the greatest thrill of my life today is to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. And I tell you, I'm not worried about it. I understand it could happen at any time. The Lord could come back and take us all out of here. But I know I may stand and I will stand and give an account of my life to God. And the Bible teaches that, the judgment seat of Christ. However, I will not face the condemnation of hell because Jesus has already paid the price and given me what I need. First of all, I want you to notice with me this morning, sin's sentence is gone. I'm glad today that we find sin sentence is gone. The Bible said in verse number 8, chapter 8, verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm grateful today there's no condemnation. That carries with it a sentence that's been passed. There's no divine warrant for our arrest. There's no charges against us. The wrath of God has been averted when He went to the cross and shed His blood for our sin to make us free. We were saved. We were delivered from the wrath of God. I tell you today, heaven is a wonderful place. Could I tell you also, there's more in the Bible said about hell than there is heaven. We are no longer doomed to an eternity in hell. When we get saved, we're promised a place in heaven. In John 14, He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." He said, "For in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you," He said, "I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Note the words in this passage of Scripture. He says, "No condemnation to them that are," here's the key, "in Christ Jesus." This morning, ask yourself the question, am I in Christ? You say, "Well, I think I am. I'm trying to do the best I can." You can do the best you can, but it's not good enough. You have to accept what Jesus Christ has done for us. You know what? You can be in church and die lost and be separated from God forever. Not those who are in Christ. But if you're not in Christ, you could die, and literally you would die in your lost condition. You can be a good neighbor to somebody. Your neighbors may say, "Man, they're the best neighbors in the world. They do things that other people don't even think about doing. They're always being kind." But friend, if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they could die in their lost condition, separated from God. For you see, when we are in Jesus, we're saved from God's judgment of sin. We're saved from the eternity of hell. In Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us." I'm glad today that He's making intercession for you and I. In John 10, verse 28 and 29, "And I give unto them," let me just say this, listen to what this verse says. And if you don't believe in eternal life, then I don't know what else to tell you. There's other verses, but listen what the, just listen carefully. John 10, 28 and 29. "And I give unto them eternal life," eternal is forever, "and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My hand, out of My Father's hand." I'm having trouble here. Can we just switch to this? I'm going to have to just turn this one off. I can't keep it on my ear here lately, so... Well, we'll get that going. Anyway, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible said, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Jesus is the only refuge for our soul. Jesus is the only safe harbor. There's nowhere else to turn. There's nobody else to turn to. But notice the phrase. He said, "There's no condemnation to them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." You see, when it says that, somebody said, "Well, see, in order for us to be blessed or be under no condemnation, it's conditional. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." In other words, we face no condemnation as long as we're walking in the Spirit. Friend, I want you to know, if you're saved, whether you're walking in the flesh or in the Spirit, you still are free from condemnation. Once God saves you, He gives you eternal life. It does not give us a license to sin. We don't need to think that it's okay. We just need to understand that we need to be striving to do the very best we can to walk in the Spirit at all times. But friend, I'm saved today. I like the songwriter. He said, "He loves me when I'm good and He loves me when I'm bad." And friend, if Jesus died on a cross for our sin and gave His life for us, how much more does He want to keep us and sustain us in our life? This is not, by the way, a conditional statement. He's not saying, as long as you're walking in the Spirit, you're not condemned. And if you're walking in the flesh, you are condemned. No, that's been taken care of when you trust Christ as your Savior. But what He's saying is, He's just stating a fact. He's just stating the very fact that we, in cooperation with Him, should walk in the Spirit to the best of our ability. This simply means and reminds us that we will lose the battle here and there with the flesh, but Jesus Christ has already won the war. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in this building today needs to confess your sin every day that you live. And I'm telling you, the Bible said if we confess our sin, thank God he doesn't take away and give us condemnation back. Well, we'd be in a battle, wouldn't we, if we was condemned one day and we was not condemned the next day. Friend, when Jesus saved us, we're condemned no more. And as we go through life and we do sin, we have an advocate with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one that will forgive us if we ask him to forgive us of the sins in our life. So I'm glad today I don't have the sentence of eternal death upon me. I'm glad when I got saved that I was freed from the condemnation that we find to those who are lost. The second thing I want you to notice in verse number 2 is sin's slavery is gone. The Bible said, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death." It's amazing to me the number of people that go to church and are convinced that we still are under the law. If you read the New Testament, we'll find we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. Do we do away with the law? Do we throw it out the window? No. The law is what brings us to Christ. It's what we know and need to understand. The lost sinner in the world, a man that is lost and was without Christ, he does not control himself, and Christ does not control himself. He is controlled by three things in the world that we find in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. They're identified as the world, the flesh, and the devil. A man that is lost. Thank God today, I'm thankful for the song. He said, "He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own." I'm glad to know I belong to Jesus. My wife and I used to sing a song that said, "Now I belong to Jesus, Jesus belongs to me." And I'm glad this morning to report to you that I belong to him, and I've belonged to him now for about 62 years. And I'm grateful that God saved me and gave me eternal life. I battle with the flesh, and I battle with the world, I battle with the devil in some sense, but I'm not controlled by it. I'm controlled by the Spirit of God that indwells me. Every life is affected by sin by differing degrees. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, I don't think my sin is quite as bad as theirs"? The Bible said, "Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin." It makes no difference whether yours is worse than somebody else. Some lost sinners may live an unspeakable life of wickedness and evil. They may be the worst people upon the earth, and they're easy to identify. They curse God. They take his name in vain, all those things. And yet you say, "Boy, surely if anybody's going to die and go to hell, they're going, because they definitely have not received Christ as their Savior." However, there's other lost people that are church members. Did you know that? I know that don't sound possible. Somebody said, "If you're a member of a church, surely you're saved." Not if you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people's going to be shocked one day when the Lord comes back and raptures us out of here. If it's near church time, I hope there's nobody left at Victory Baptist Church. But it could be if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can be a good, upstanding citizen. You can be a good neighbor. You can love your family. You can work hard. You can pay your taxes. You can vote. You can do good deeds for other people all around. But regardless of how good you are, if you're a sinner, you're still lost and condemned until you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus saves our soul, he changes everything. I got saved early as a 10-year-old boy. Probably did not experience what some people might as an adult, but later when I became adult, I realized what I had. Oh, I realized. I know what I did when I got saved. I remember the preacher sharing with me, and I looked at the Word of God, and I prayed and asked God to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and save me. But when I got a little older, I began to really sink in what had happened in my life. God saved me, and he delivered me from the slavery of sin. The sin, the life that, and again, even as a child of God, sometimes we backslide and get away from God. God has to bring us back to the place we need to be. The Bible said in Romans 6, verse 7 and 8, "For he that is dead," listen, "he that is dead is freed from the sin." Now, what's he talking about dead? He's talking about dead to the world, dead to the flesh. He said, "For he that is dead from sin, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." Do you believe that this morning? I believe that if we're dead from sin, and we're dead in Christ or with Christ, we believe that we shall live with him. In Romans 6, 11 through 14, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin,
but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. There he's telling us. He said, you're going to sin, but there's no reason to sin. You shouldn't try to sin, and you ought to do everything you can to prevent from sinning. He said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of the righteousness of God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. You're saved, no more condemnation. Does that mean that you won't sin? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it means that you ought not to sin continually and regularly and continue to do things you know that you ought not to do. You need to confess that sin, get right with God, because you have a different master in your life now than you did before. In Romans 6, 17 and 18, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Ye, he said, those before they got saved, ye were servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. Not servants of sin, but servants of righteousness for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a glorious truth. If you're saved, you've been delivered from the slavery of sin and death. Thank God today, you may be tempted to sin, I may be tempted to sin, but we have an advocate, the Father, the Lord Jesus, whoever sitteth at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. We find here's the key. By the way, here is the key to walking in the freedom of the Spirit and in Jesus. In Romans 6:11, here's how you do it. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. He said also in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And here it is, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. I'm so glad today that I'm not part of this world. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. I'm just here for a little bit. I'm going to one day enter into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I stand here today. I stand here today just as confident as I've ever been that I have no sentence hanging over my head. The sentence has already been passed. It was nailed to the cross, and Jesus bled his blood in order that we might have salvation. Thank God today, no more condemnation. I'm not necessarily now, I'm not a slave to sin, or at least if you're saved, you ought not be. It ought to be something changed in your life. And I'm telling you, if you're sinning, and I tell you, this one thing that I know in my life, there's something called the Holy Spirit, someone we call the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, and he's God, by the way. He lives inside of us, but I'm telling you, when you know you're doing something wrong, if you say, the Holy Spirit will convict you and show you things you need to make right. If you haven't felt conviction lately, you might do some checking up, because I'm telling you today, a child of God that is saved ought not to be entertained by things that will drag us down. We ought to be entertained by the Word of God. Not entertained, it's not a good word, but we ought to be subject to the things of the Word of God that God saved us. But then lastly, sin's sickness is gone. You said, say what? I said, sin's sickness is gone. Look at verse 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Friend, a child of God ought to be walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. If there's any kind of discrepancy there, there's always room for examination. But you know, every person that has never trusted Christ is sick. Now please, I want you to understand what I'm saying, because the Bible said in Mark 2:17, they that are whole have no need of physician. You know who the whole are? is those of us who have been gloriously saved by the grace of God. We're on our way to heaven. We have no condemnation. He said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus said right there, if you don't know me, you're sick. I'm not referring to sick in the head or sick. I'm just talking about your body. Basically, you've not been made whole. I tell you what, a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I'm grateful today that he changes your life. But you know, it's really worse than being sick. If you're lost here today, the Bible says you're dead. He said, and ye who are dead in your trespasses and sin. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When a person's sick, what do? They try every remedy they can think of to make themselves better. Sometimes they're radical remedies, and they may work in your life physically. Anywhere you go, I always run into somebody that's got a new kind of medicine to help me out. And sometimes they tell them the truth. I take it and it does help. Not saying all those are not bad. But those who are afflicted with a spiritual disease of sin, they try various remedies to cure their condition. The first thing they do is they say, preacher, if I can just be a little better person, if I can do good works, if I can help the church any way that I can. Friend, I'm going to tell you, the church needs help. But church needs help by people that have been born again, people that have been made whole, people that have the Lord Jesus Christ and know that heaven is their home. Oh, today somebody said, I hear people all the time say, well, I need to get religion. Friend, you might as well throw religion out the window. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. What we need today is the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, there's all kind of religions, and they'll confuse you, and they'll mess you up. But I'm telling you today, Jesus Christ will change your life. Well, somebody said, if I can go to church and attend regularly, I know I've heard people say, well, preacher, I've been going to church all my life. And I know when the Lord comes, if anybody gets to go, I'm going. Or most time they're talking about their mother or somebody else. She's as good a lady as you'll ever find. I'm sure she is. But friend, there has to be a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in order to go to heaven. And the way you do that is by confessing your sin, calling upon his name and being saved by the grace of God. Somebody says every new year I'm going to turn over a new leaf. You just need to turn your life over to Christ is what you need to do. In verse 3, look what it said. We've already read it. He said, of what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The cure for the terrible sickness of sin is found in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where the law failed, Christ prevailed. And I'm glad today to report to you that I'm not under any kind of sentence. I'm not under any kind of slavery. Thank God I was sick, but I've been made whole. You know, what the scripture says in Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. And again, God does heal sometimes physically in sicknesses, and I understand that. But what he was talking about, when he died, and when he took those whipping upon that cross, and his back was lacerated, and he shed that blood, what he was doing was healing. He was healing the sin of our life in order that we might be made whole. All the law could do was to point to men, sinful men, how they were. It was our schoolmaster. It's just a guidance, a direction. The reason the law cannot save, you know why the law can't save? Because there's not a person in this building that can keep the law. Do you know that? I remember preaching one time. In fact, I preached a message one time on why you couldn't keep the Ten Commandments. And I'm telling you, just about every one of them as Christians sometimes may have problems along the way. But I remember one fellow talking one time, and I just want you to know the law is what shows us the guideline by which we go by. It points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, I'm going to tell you today, if it's left up to me, I'm just a no good, dirty, rotten sinner that, thank God, had parents that took me to church and a preacher that preached the truth of the Word of God. And I got born again by the grace of God, and I'm grateful. Listen to what James 2:10 says. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So if you could prove to me that you could keep all the Ten Commandments except one, he said, they ain't no good. You only justify it by the faith. He said in Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, I've already quoted it, to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Jesus Christ came to do what the law could never do. Christ died and rose again. He provided a perfect cure for wickedness in our life if we put our trust in him. When Jesus died on the cross, he did more than just pronounce judgment on sin. God fully and finally, one time, judged sin once for all as his son took it upon himself. The Bible says he was made sin for us. Now understand, Jesus never sinned. Somebody the other day said something about Jesus could sin. Listen, Jesus could not sin. If he had, he could not have paid the price for your sin. But he took our sin in order that we might have eternal life. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Those who are in Jesus, the wrath of God's been extinguished forever with no condemnation. But wait a minute, it gets better than that. Look at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. That's exciting. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Somebody says, what does life mean to me? What is the purpose of life? Friend, the purpose of life is the Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he wants us to get saved by the grace of God in order that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us as we serve him, as we're here upon this earth. We're declared righteous. By the way, you know what happened when I got saved? It wasn't because I started going to church. It wasn't because I got baptized. It was because one day I realized I was a sinner and I came to confess my sin. And you know what Jesus said? He said, I declare you righteous. The word for that is justified. I'm glad today that I've been justified. I've been declared righteous before God. The Bible said in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? It means people like us. And I'd venture to say today, whether you know it or not, before you got saved, you was just a dirty, rotten sinner. You said, oh, preacher, I didn't do the things some people do. Might not have. But you're still a sinner. And when God came to you or when you came to him, you put just your faith and trust in him, and he saved you and gave you eternal life. When God sees you today, when he looks down, he's not looking down this morning saying, there's old sorry so-and-so there, and there's bad so-and-so there. No, when he looks down, he sees his blood covering every one of us who have been saved by the grace of God. We're not justified by works. We're justified by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus delivers his people from the sentence. He delivers his people from the slavery. He delivers them, thank God, from the sickness of sin in their life. He sets them free. You know, somebody talks about, and people say somebody that's an alcoholic, they said he's sick. Somebody that's a drug addict, they said it's a sickness, it's a disease. No, it's not the alcohol and the drugs. It's the fact that he's sin sick. And he needs to be saved by the grace of God and ask Christ to come into his heart and save him. We've been set free from the old life. We've been set free from death, deception, depravity, and doom. And I'm glad to report to you this morning, as we think about Labor Day, this has nothing to do with that Labor Day, but I think today God blesses those that labor. And he said if we'd come to him, he'd give us rest. And today he's given us rest. He's given us release. And we know that we put our faith and trust in him. I close with this. If you've tasted the Lord's salvation and know he has changed your life and delivered you from the bondage of sin, then you ought to give him glory and praise his holy name. But friend, I'm afraid sometimes we've gotten, it just don't happen as often as it used to. But the reason we come to church is so people can hear the word of God, where they can be convicted of where they are in their life. I don't know anybody's heart this morning, but I can tell you this, and I'm not going through it again, there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. We must come to Jesus and put our faith and trust in him. And I'm glad the Bible has a plan. He tells exactly what we need to do in order to be saved and go to heaven. Just a moment, we're going to give the invitation. And if there's someone here today that's without Christ, you're just not sure. You said, well, what's people going to say? Who cares? This is church, people. We're here. We're praying that God will save souls. We're praying that everybody here will go to heaven one day. We're praying that there won't be any more condemnation. I tell you today, for a person to get saved, we as Christians ought to rejoice and be thankful for what God has done. But I would invite you this morning, if you don't know Christ, if you're not sure you're saved, you say, "Preacher, I don't know. I joined the church one time." Join the church, won't get it. You say, "Well, I was baptized one time." Baptism will not get it. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I wish you'd come this morning and let somebody show you from the Word of God how you can truly know that you've been born again.